If you would, turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15 is where we'll be this evening. Luke chapter 15. Many times people don't understand or don't realize the value of something until they lose it. Has anybody ever lost something in here? You ever lost keys or maybe a phone, a wallet, you know? See, for something to be called lost means it has to have some value in it. You don't run out after the trash truck comes and collects your garbage on whatever day it is and go screaming down the road, my trash, come back with my trash. If you do, Pastor wants to meet with you after church tonight in his office. But for something to be called lost, it has to have value. The Bible, the Lord calls us, those of us without Christ, he calls us lost. People around the world today who do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're lost. They're incredibly valuable to him. Here in this text, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is trying to, I believe, get us to understand that for something to be lost, there has to be a value attached to it. Here in Luke 15, sorry, did I say Luke 5? Luke 15, he gives us three parables, three stories. Each one of them depicting, I think, the value of one. Look at verse 1, please. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They're all upset because Jesus was allowing these publicans and sinners to gravitate towards him. And because of what Jesus was seeing, he begins to give a parable. And he speaks one and then a second one and then gets into the third parable. I think he's trying to teach these folks a lesson. And he says in verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And the obvious answer for those listening to him that day would be all of them would go. Verse 5, and when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then Jesus goes into the third story here. And as I look at this chapter, I see that Jesus was somebody who attracted sinners to him. The publicans, they were ones who repelled the sinners. But Jesus attracted the sinners, and he tries to give them an analogy, I think, that and try to get them to understand that he associated with verse 1 type people. He wanted them to understand what brought joy to the Lord, what brings God joy, what makes God happy. He says, I don't think you fully understand the value of people. I don't think you really understand what God values. I think it's difficult for me and for you to understand sometimes the enormous population in the world today. I mean, over 7 billion people today. I don't know about you, I can't get my mind around 7 billion. You know, somebody said, imagine 10 or 100, or you think about even tonight, you know, 50 to 100,000, whatever it's going to be at the Super Bowl tonight. You know, you can kind of visualize that, but tonight if I said, visualize a million, could you do it? Or a billion? I can't do it. But here, Jesus, it's amazing how he thinks and how he knows we, how he understands how he thinks, and he brings it down to a number that we understand. And he begins to give some stories here. And first of all, he says, I want you to see the value, number one, like a looking shepherd. There's a sheep, he shows us, that gets lost through distraction. Much like people today, they get preoccupied in life. With work. He talks about a shepherd who has 100 sheep and brings them in for the night and calls them in, and all of a sudden one's missing. And he goes out and he finds that one. He leaves the 99 and he goes and he finds that one. And Jesus gives us this story, and he lays out the concept that the shepherd understands the value of one, but how come we don't understand the value of one? The shepherd goes looking after lost sheep because the sheep doesn't even know it's lost. It's just kind of preoccupied itself, munched its way off into lostness, if you will. A lot of us at times can do that. We get distracted, whether it's work or family or different events that we have going on. And listen, most people in the world today don't even know that they're lost. Very few people tonight will, before their head goes on the pillow, will say, you know what, if I don't wake up in the morning, I'm just going to split hell wide open. They don't think that. They don't think about being lost. They don't even give it a passing thought. Few do. But God says, would you see the value of one like a looking shepherd? Would you go seeking after that one which is lost? You see, the sheep doesn't look for the shepherd. The shepherd looks for the sheep. But secondly, he says, not just the looking shepherd, but he shows us a second story and says, would you see the value of one like a lonely bride? He tells a story about a woman. Jesus narrows it down from 100 to 1 to now 10 to 1. He's bringing our focus down. He says, I want you to see the value of one, the value of people, like a lonely bride. And he gives us here a picture of somebody lost in darkness. Not just lost in distraction like the sheep, but lost in darkness. He says it's like a bride or a wife. In the Jewish custom, they would get 10 pieces of silver, 10 silver coins, and they would put them on a headband. It'd be the equivalent to an engagement ring today. He says, one of those coins, if they were to get lost, I mean, the memory associated with that coin, maybe it was the memory of a future fiance or the memory of a husband or maybe even the coins of a widow, had memory, had attachment, had value to it. And he says that woman would just go off and seek for that coin, even though it's in absolute darkness. And she would get a candle out and she'd search the house and go into the dark areas of that house trying to find that coin. Again, the coin doesn't know it's lost. Coin maybe is under a cabinet underneath a piece of furniture, needing somebody to go to it, somebody to take the light to it. Say, let me care for you. Let me take the light to you. Jesus says, would you not just see the value of one like a looking shepherd, but would you see it like a lonely bride? God says there's value in people who are lost through distraction. There's value in people who's lost through darkness. You see, around the world tonight, there are people who live in pagan places in this world. 10 out of 11 babies born every day are born in spiritual darkness. Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism. No concept of God. Nobody going and shining the light to them where they can see that there's an answer for the need that they have in their life. And God says, will you go to them? Will you take the light to them? Will you see that they have value? As I think about the audience Jesus is speaking to here in Luke chapter 15, no doubt they understood what he was talking about. No doubt they understood the shepherd looking for the sheep. I mean, that had value. That was his livelihood. That they understood that. They understood the woman searching desperately for the coin. Just like if I was to announce, you know, today, one of you ladies, we found your engagement ring sitting on one of the tables. Or, I mean, it'd be a instant shock. Everybody looking down, making sure it wasn't you, you know. Make sure you had your diamond ring. They understood that. But then Jesus brings in a third parable. And he says, will you have a vision for one like a loving father? I believe this would have created a problem. People would have said, we understood the shepherd. We understood the coin. But what's this all about? And Jesus brings in a relationship here. And he brings it from 1 out of 100 to 1 out of 10 to now 1 out of 2. Look at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had... how many sons? 2 sons. Jesus brings in a father-son relationship, something that's very familiar with most of us in the room tonight. Most of us know this story as the parable of the prodigal son. I think it's a very poor name for it. Jesus never called it that. I think a better name would be the parable of the loving father. See, what is God wanting us to see here? God is wanting us to see the value of one as a loving father. Because most of us can relate to this. Most of us can understand this. Most of us had a father in our life or somebody in our life that took the role of the father. Those of us who are fathers, we understand this even a little bit more, this parental influence. Jesus doesn't even start the story off with the son. There in verse 11 there, he says a certain man. He starts off talking about the father. He's trying to get us to understand something here. I've been guilty of this. A lot of people, when you hear somebody teach or preach on this story here in Luke 15, I mean, you want to get the boy in trouble, get him off and living in sin and coming to himself and getting back home. I mean, the way down, the way back, and the way in. You know, the prodigal son's madness, his sadness, and his gladness. You know, point one, two, three. He went to the dogs, ate with the hogs, and homeward he jogs. You know, get him in and get him out, right? But if you study this out, the boy was not the star of the story. The boy was the one who wasted his life in riotous living. The boy was the one that went prodigal. The boy was the one, he was not the star of the story. He was what was valued in the story. The older brother later on, the one who threw his little fit, that he was not the star of the story either. He was just representing the Pharisees, those who Jesus was speaking to, those who often got angry because they thought people weren't getting what they deserved, forgetting that God had dealt mercifully with them time and time again. But the Father is the star of the story. The Father, he is the only consistent character in the story. The Father, it starts at his house, it ends at his house. He's loving in the beginning, he's loving in the middle, he's loving in the end. He's the stable place when everything else is going crazy. At the Father's house was provision. At the Father's house there was peace. At the Father's house, there was patience. You see, this is certainly a picture of our Heavenly Father tonight. Jesus saying, will you see the valley of one like a loving father? You see, the prodigal son had fallen in love with the Father's provisions, and he had forgotten all about the Father's presence. And look what he did in verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. He's literally saying here, Dad, I wish you were dead so I could have what's coming to me. Horrible kid. Horrible boy. The Bible says the Father divided unto him his living. And I think if we're not careful sometimes, we as God's people can be more interested in God's provision than when we are in God's presence. We get more caught up in seeking the Father's hand than seeking after the Father's heart. See, we tell God, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give you this area of my life. I'm going to have this ministry because, you know, you give me a good job. Well, what happens, friend, when you don't have a good job? God, I'm going to serve you with my life because you've given me a family. Well, what happens when something tragic goes wrong in your family? See? Folks, is he still God when you're in the hospital bed? Is he still God when your spouse decides to walk out on you? Is he still God when a tumor is found in your body? Is he still God when somebody you love dearly dies? Or is he only God when the provisions come? See, that was the prodigal's heart. The prodigal leaves. The father basically says to him, go ahead. He basically says, go ahead and see if what I have is better than who I am. He divides up his inheritance there. And I find it kind of strange. But even in the permission, we see the father's correction. This whole parable is filled with shame and dishonor and disgrace that this boy causes. He goes into riotous living, gets in all kinds of messes, ends up the little Jewish boy in the pig pen. Then he realizes that he walked away from anything and everything that had value. The boy realizes, looking at verse 17, he realizes that the best pleasures were back at daddy's house. And verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Look what it says here in that verse. The Bible says, the two words after it says, and when he came to himself, it says, he said. You see, back in verse 12, it tells us that the younger child said to his father in verse 12. Down in verse 18, it says, he will go back to his father and will say. Verse 21, and when he finally comes to himself, it says that the son said unto him. You see, everything that happened in this boy's life was a result of what he said. His mouth got him in trouble, and his mouth had to get him out of trouble. He talked himself into it, and now he had to talk himself out of it. Isn't that what the Bible says to us? It's the confession of our mouth. We've got to confess the Lord Jesus. So he remembered the Father's generosity. He remembered his goodness. And he says, I've got to get back to my Father. And look what it says in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. I love what we see here. We begin to see really the Father's love being magnified. Verse 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This tells me it was daytime. If it was nighttime, he wouldn't be able to see him a far way off. It's daytime. The dad's looking off into an area, sees his boy a great way off, and the boy had not even reached the edge of the village yet. Imagine the town would have been filled with people. Middle of the day, maybe. People getting water for their animals, buying and trading and selling and all that. And the father looks a great way off and he sees him. And the Bible says after he sees him, he has compassion on him. What an interesting statement the Lord uses here. Why did he have compassion? He ran to him. You see, he wanted to reach his son before his son reached the village. He wanted to protect his son from the shame. He wanted to protect him from the scorn. He wanted to protect him from the abuse and the slander that he was going to receive because he was the prodigal. He was the one that dishonored the family. The father is saying here, I'll bear his shame. I'll take that shame. I'll protect him from all of that. And the father had compassion on him. And he ran to him. Sounds very familiar to somebody else I know. Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, I'll take their shame. I'll take their abuse. I'll take all of that, even though they utterly deserve that. That boy deserved it, but the Father, the love of the Father, he went to him. He had compassion on him because there was value in him. Now these people would say, well, what is he doing? He's not supposed to be doing this. The boy disgraced the family. Why is he acting like this? And the father runs, Jesus said. I can just see it, picks up his robe and girds himself and he runs to the boy. The Pharisees said, stop, he can't be doing this. But he's trying to get them to understand that the father is the star of the story. The father goes and he grabs his son, he brings his son back in, and the boy confesses. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said, bring forth the best robe. In other words, he was going to have access once again. Then the father said, put the ring on his hand. In other words, he was going to have absolute authority once again. He was going to have the seal of authority like he had before. The father said, put shoes on his feet. In other words, he was now going to be appointed above the servants. He was going to be back in his role, back in his place. The father valued the boy. Then he tells him to go and kill the fatted calf and let everybody know that that which was lost is found. And a great announcement is given in verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This verse never tells us that they stopped being merry. Folks, that's a picture of heaven. When a lost sinner comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, God says there's no stopping of rejoicing. It's an eternal joy. Throughout all of this, we see the Father who says, I love my son, I love my child. And God is saying, I want you to see this world, I want you to see people as a loving father. And even when the elder brother wouldn't come in through his little fit and wouldn't come in, the father went to him. Listen, do you understand tonight God loves people you don't like? The father went, this is what God does. He went to the elder son, he went to the prodigal son. See, it may be difficult tonight for you to comprehend that there may be somebody halfway across the world, maybe in the Sahara Desert with a turban on his head, that God knows him and loves him just as deeply as he knows and loves you. God says, can you love him like that? So here we see in this parable, we see one lost through absolute distraction, the sheep. We see one lost through darkness. Places in this world just is pounded into them. They know no better, but they need somebody to come and shine the light to them, like the coin. Then there are some who are lost through absolute deception, making the wrong decisions in life, making bad choices. They needed somebody to come with the gospel. You see, no matter what's happened in somebody's life, a person's value never changes before God. A lot of times we might want to pass by somebody because we think, yeah, God's not interested in that one. That one's too dirty, or that one's too rough, or that one's, you know, he's a drunk, he's homeless, or whatever the case may be. Listen, there's value in that one. There's value in that bus child. There's value in that toddler in the nursery. There's value in each and every person. Jesus is trying to get them to understand through these parables that there's value in one. A lot of times there's a great crowd here this morning. Great crowd. Auditorium was full, basically full on both sides. And that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But God's all about the ones. God's about the individuals. What do you value tonight? Is it all about the big? Or can God bring your focus down? And can you see the value in the ones? Maybe the one at work. Maybe the one in the food store line. Maybe the one in the gas station. The value of one. Dear Father, we thank you for this evening, this afternoon. Lord, we just pray now that you'd help us be more faithful in the area of soul winning. Be more faithful as we minister in our different areas of service. Lord, this is a wonderful church. Many serving people here. Sometimes, Lord, I've been guilty of it in the past, of just going through motions, and you forget there's value in each and every person. Each person that walks in the doors of this church, Lord, there's value. You see value. And Father, I pray that you'd help this good church, Lord, to honor you, Lord, and look and find the value that you see in each and every person. Lord, thank you for you speaking to hearts. Thank you for those who are saved today. In Jesus' name we ask it.